Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Washington, D.C. Time to get up and at 'em. I'm Adam Epstein. Start your Saturday morning off right here, live and local, in the nation's capital. This is D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Got you covered on both ends of the dial. 106.7 FM, 980 AM in Richmond. We're streaming on 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Use it like I do. Wake up every morning, hear the Sports Junkies Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. The Odyssey app gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. And from the Sports Junkies, Matt Valdez will join us at 11:30 to talk Kentucky Derby. Mitch Tischler from the Beltway Football Podcast will join us at 10:30, give his take on the Commanders draft class. And there's just really so much going on in the sports world. We're once again almost overwhelmed here in the middle of the summer, as it is, you know, a Saturday, May 3rd, and the Caps advanced to round two. The Nats, that season's in full swing. NBA playoffs, and for me, the Wizards draft lottery is about a week and 2 days away, and I'm locked in to see if the ping pong balls will fall for us to win a number one overall pick like we did for Kwame Brown, like we did for John Wall. We need one more for Cooper Flagg to change the fortunes of this franchise. But right now, I'm still looking every single day at articles and reading about people's thoughts about the Washington Commanders draft class. And I think Adam Peters did a great job, and that will be a big part of the show today. We'll be focusing on, has Adam Peters done enough to improve this roster for them to win 10-plus games again? Because I wanted Washington to be the most aggressive team in the NFL this offseason, to build off their 12-win season. I said anything other than a playoff spot is a massive step back. You cannot regress like that the way you have this fan base in the palm of your hands. Does Jaden Daniels now have the tools to succeed in year two with Cliff Kingsbury, the additions they made at wide receiver, Jalen Lane, Deebo Samuel, and improved offensive line? We've seen all five picks. I talked to you guys last Saturday. We had only seen the Thursday and Friday, right? And the undrafted free agents now. And the Commanders' rookie class is now full. It's complete. They're getting ready to go to work. We're seeing Deebo Samuel in the building. He's vibing around in the locker room, working out with the guys. I mean, it's ready. It's go time. Here we go. Football season. Training camp's going to be here before you know it. And I want to know, what Commanders' rookie do you think is under the most pressure in year one? Phone lines are going to be open throughout the show, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. But I'm going to start the show with the NBA playoffs because I'm a hoops head, and it's exactly what I watched last night. And I'll tell you, that's the kind of basketball that I want to watch, and I feel like basketball fans want to watch. I'm blown away, to be honest with you. Because I came on this damn radio station right here, and I told you I thought this was the worst regular season the NBA's had in 10 years. It was god-awful. The All-Star game was putrid. The in-season tournament was a waste of time. The biggest storyline of this boring season of NBA basketball, because nobody talked about the Thunder or the Cavs being the top of their conference, because they don't have sexy enough names. People don't know Chet Holmgren and Donovan Mitchell. The biggest storyline was the Luka trade. And then other than that, it was the end of the Inside the NBA show on TNT. That's how bad this regular season was, right? And Luka and LeBron, they're knocked out in the first round. But I think the postseason has new life now without LeBron James, without people clinging on to the king winning one more. Now we can turn to watching Anthony Edwards and the Eastern Conference. But to me, this postseason, from what we've watched so far, feels like a throwback to the 90s. And it was that Knicks-Pistons series was fantastic. I really did think we've seen some great conference matchups in the West side there. We've got two Game 7s, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Warriors. This is the kind of basketball that people want to watch. It feels like the playoff basketball I grew up watching that I fell in love with, where there's actual defense being played, and every possession matters. And teams aren't just chucking up 53s a game. And the refs are letting them play. There's lots of contact. It's been great. It really has. And so last night we saw the Rockets force a Game 7 with a 115-107 victory. And for me, that matters. For me, looking at the final score and not seeing 140-130 or 135-129, that matters. You know, I feel like I grew up watching an era of basketball where a 25-point first quarter is not bad. As long as the other team doesn't get 30, right? Because you want to average like 100 to 110 points. Like, this is the kind of basketball that I think it's pleasing to the eye to watch. I really do. I think it matters because it's the kind of box scores that we grew up watching. Like, you're not seeing, Fred VanVleet had 50 points. No, he had 29. That's what he should have in a playoff game. These guys were going off in the last few years. I mean, guys you never heard of were going off for 40 or 50 points because there was no defense being played. And last night we saw that a dominant center can still change the game of basketball. And I don't think J.J. Redick understands that. Actually, I'm pretty confident J.J. Redick doesn't understand that, because that's why the Lakers went home. Because he was having LeBron James play makeshift center, and Rudy Gobert had 27 points and 24 rebounds. Rudy Gobert had a 20-20 double-double. And last night, the Golden State Warriors had that same issue, because they have Draymond Green pretty much playing center for them for most of the game. And it was Steven Adams who had 17 points and 5 rebounds and 3 offensive rebounds and 3 block shots. And when he was on the court, the Rockets were up by plus 15. And when he's on the court this series, the Rockets have destroyed the Warriors. They don't have an answer for the big fella Steven Adams down low. Blocking shots, tipping the ball back out, affecting plays, and rebounding. And so you're seeing, hey, big men matter a little bit more here in the postseason when it's not so easy to drive down the basket every single time down the court and get a layup. And I also love how this feels like maybe one of the last dances for Steph Curry. I mean, it's crazy because I've watched his entire career, but he's now 37, and there's no signs of him slowing down. I mean, he had 29, even the losing effort last night, but like, this roster is not going to stay together very long, right? I mean, Draymond's hanging on. They trade for Jimmy Butler. He's on his probably last few years here of being a real impact player in this league. He's 35 years old, but it feels like he's been through the ringer in terms of injuries and bounced around the league. Do people still believe in paying Jimmy Butler to be their team star? I think he's got to make some noise with the Warriors this season. And so this feels like this could be the Warriors, the Dub dynasty, with Steve Kerr's last chance to make a run through the Western Conference. And they're going through the gauntlet here because it's Houston in round one. There's going to be a Game 7 to decide that on Sunday. And then you've got a very difficult team waiting for you. And so I've been really impressed with this year's NBA playoffs. I really did think the Timberwolves-Lakers series was really fun to watch. I told you guys I was rooting for the Lakers. I'm kind of happy they lost, though, so I can go back to being a LeBron hater and rooting for the young kid Anthony Edwards, who took a victory lap around Crypto.com Arena after knocking off the Lake Show. Thought that was hilarious. The Pacers-Bucks series, I could have spent 3-4 segments talking about that. Is Giannis overrated? Is this the time that we talk about Giannis being overrated? Because when is the last time Nikola Jokic got knocked out of the first round of an NBA playoffs, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, I get it, they're on better teams, but Milwaukee and Giannis has not worked out since he won the championship, and part of me thinks they messed up massively trading Jrue Holiday. He was a big part of them winning it all, but I really get frustrated by Giannis because I don't think that he is like a true ball player. Like, he is big, he's strong, he's athletic. I don't think he's got the best handles. I really don't even think he can hit a consistent jump shot. We know he can't hit a three-point shot. He's got to shuffle his feet every time he's under the basket. He travels. If you ask me, I'm old school when I watch my basketball. I'm staring at your toes. If you move your pivot foot twice, that's a travel. Giannis does that every time down the court. So Pacers were the much better team here. Team basketball, Siakam with Halliburton, with Miles Turner, with TJ McConnell, and they have a full 10 deep bench that they can go to, which is really cool to watch. So I like the Pacers. I think they're going to have an interesting series here coming up against the Cavs. That will start on May 4th, and then Knicks Celtics will start on May 5th. So we know our second round conference semifinal matchups in the East and in the West. We've got two pivotal game sevens, the best two words in sports, game seven. I cannot wait. Today it's the Clippers against the Denver Nuggets. Sunday, it's the Rockets against the Warriors. This is the kind of basketball that I grew up watching. I feel like this is the kind of basketball that Hoops fans can actually get fired up for. All right? Now, I know there's a lot going on in the sports world. You're probably watching, you know, Capitals every night that they're playing, the Nats as well. But I'm a Hoops fan, and this is what I want to watch. Lower points per game, lower three-point attempts, less fouls, more games going down to the wire. And that is what I have loved. I mean, when Aaron Gordon caught that air ball from Nikola Jokic and dunked it back in, that reminded me, that was like my version of the NC State Jimmy Valvano. I mean, it was literally that insane. Jokic, I'm thinking, there's no way he makes this shot. It literally went over the basket, landed perfectly into Aaron Gordon's hands, who slams it down. And so that has just been so much fun to watch. So game seven today, game seven tomorrow. I'll preview the two game sevens. If you want to chime in, give me your thoughts on the NBA playoffs. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. That's at AWOD Radio, AWADDRADIO, or at 1067 The Fan. If it's good tweet, we'll read it on air. A couple guests will join the program today. Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast that he does alongside JP Finley for 1067 The Fan. We'll get his take on the Washington Commanders. And don't forget, this afternoon, the Kentucky Derby. Matt Valdez will join us to talk some ponies at 11:30. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, it gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. Kawhi Leonard, Nikola Jokic, two NBA champions facing off tonight in a win or go home game 7. Winner takes all game 7. My favorite two words in sports, game 7. It's all on the line between the 50-win LA Clippers and the 50-win Denver Nuggets. Fourth place versus fifth place in the Western Conference. And to be honest with you, I think both these teams could absolutely upset the Thunder given the talent and the experience on their roster versus the young one-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. So both these teams could still advance all the way to the NBA Finals with a win today. 7:30 on TNT. Let's get to the breakdown here of the first Game 7 that will be played this weekend. We'll preview the second one a little bit later. Houston against the Golden State Warriors. But to me, this series has been fantastic from start to finish. Game 1, Nuggets win in overtime. Who was it? Russell Westbrook leading the Nuggets to a Game 1 overtime victory with a fantastic three-point shot and then a great defensive effort. Clippers bounce back in Game 2, and that game was so great. 105-102, it was a back-and-forth game in which Kawhi Leonard turned back the clock, and we saw the Claw turn back into the guy that won the championship for both the San Antonio Spurs and the Toronto Raptors, in which he was 15 of 19. I mean, that's pretty darn good. 15 of 19, 39 points. Clippers win by 3. He put on a show that game and was clutch in the fourth quarter. Game 3, finally we get your blowout. Clippers blow out the Nuggets. Game 4, Nuggets win at the buzzer. Steal back momentum. They get their blowout victory in Game 5. Clippers come back to win Game 6, 111-105, to force this pivotal Game 7. And this is just everything that I want here in terms of a matchup here. Now, let's get to the most important part of this matchup, and I do think that is going to be, can the Clippers get their big three to show up once again? Because they don't have the best scorers on this team. They have done a great job, and Teron Lu deserves a ton of credit because they defend, right? And you've heard me talk about their wins here, 105-102, right? They're not letting Denver get over 110, 115 in this year's playoffs. They're defending really well. But Ben Simmons does nothing for them. All right, Bogdan Bogdanovic off the bench is supposed to be a scorer. He's been awful in this series, can't hit a shot. Nicholas Batum, they can still rely on him, the old Frenchman, for like 15 minutes a game. But they play their starters 30-plus minutes. And in their starting lineup, Chris Dunn doesn't score. Ivaka Zubac doesn't score. It is the big three of Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Norman Powell. That's it. That's the scorers for the LA Clippers. And when they've won, that combination of Leonard, Harden, and Powell has put up 65 to 75 points. When they've lost, you've seen Norman Powell struggle. We all know about James Harden's postseason struggles. He's been inconsistent. Kawhi Leonard's been the consistent piece for them, but it was Harden in Game 6 that had 28 to help push them here to a Game 7. So for the Clippers side of things, it's can they get 70 points from the combination of Leonard, Harden, and Norman Powell and keep defending the way they have. For the Denver Nuggets, look, this is a team that does need to hit the three-point shot. It's a big part of their game. It's not usually Jokic, but they do need him to, you know, not go 0 for 5. Jamal Murray, can they get something from Michael Porter Jr.? Aaron Gordon's not really the three-point shooter, but they've relied on Russell Westbrook in this series to shoot some shots from the outside, and he has been decent. He really has. He's been 40% from the three-point land in this series, and this is a guy that I think people make fun of because for his career, he's probably below 30%. But he has been really good in this series, and I think he's doing the little things, rebounding and getting assists to be their X factor. And so I do believe in Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets here. I really think that they're fired up and inspired by the ownership's ludicrous, dumb decision to fire Michael Malone. All right, we really will never figure out why they do that with four games right left in the regular season, and you know you're making it into the postseason, not even playing tournament. You're locked in to the NBA playoffs. And so the assistant that rode with Michael Malone, you know, he didn't ride or die with Michael Malone. He rode with him and then got off the train and said, hey, all right, now it's going to be my time to run the ship. And he has inspired this team. They're playing much better. They're communicating. That's the issue that at the end of the Michael Malone era, it seems like with the Nuggets, they weren't defending, and it really was a lot of communication issues. And I still think that's what could hold the Nuggets back tonight. If the Nuggets lose, it's because they gave up 115 to the Clippers tonight. They need to play solid defense. They don't need to play as good as the Clippers will play because the Clippers are an amazing defensive team, but they can't make LA get a bunch of easy baskets. And then, you know, I think Nikola Jokic needs to be the star that he can be. And the Denver Nuggets will win this game if Jamal Murray gets 20 or more points. Jamal Murray in this series has kind of been what we've seen from Jamal Murray a lot of times in the postseason. He has a bunch of big games, and then he disappears for a game. But then he'll go off, and so it's like, man, 43 points. That's why they win that pivotal game five, right? But what happened game four? 13 points. That's the kind of inconsistency with Jamal Murray. So I think if he gets above 20, that should be a big factor helping the Nuggets get the win. I am picking the Nuggets to win game seven tonight. We turn to game seven Sunday, Warriors-Rockets. And I have been a Steph Curry fan dating back to Davidson when he went on that magical March Madness type run, and he just plays the game the right way. He's such a great leader. I don't think we talk enough about how good Steph Curry is off the ball, running around in circles and circles and through screens and under screens and over screens, and he finally gets open and he sets up his teammates so well. I'm not a big Draymond Green fan, to be honest with you, but I am a Jimmy Butler fan. And I do like the way Jimmy Butler plays basketball. I've always thought he did not have the best three-point shot, and so that's why it's always been surprising to me that he can put up 20 to 25 points a night without relying on the three-point shot, because Jimmy Buckets brings back the mid-range bucket. Jimmy Butler drives to the basket. He finds a way to get to the free-throw line almost every single game. He's averaged 8 free throw attempts in this series and had 2 games in which he hit 12 free throws. So that'll be a big part of game 7. Can Jimmy Butler get to the free throw line? You know, he got hurt early in this series, so he should be getting closer to full health by now. That shouldn't be an issue anymore. But this Warriors team, their issue is, to me, that their roster's not good enough. They have the Lakers issue, in my mind. I watch a lot of basketball. I feel like I should know more about Braxton Key, Guy Santos, Quinton Post. All right, I know Moses Moody. I know Pat Spencer. I thought I knew more about his brother. There was another Spencer in the NBA. Brandon Podziemski. Who? What? This guy's, they're relying on him to hit two or three threes every single game. The Warriors do go 10 deep and sometimes even more than that. So you got to give Steve Kerr credit for trusting some of his young guys here. But really, I think you know what you're going to get from Steph Curry. He's going to get you close to 30 points in a game seven. He's probably going to hit 6 or 7 3-point shots. I do think if Jimmy Butler can get to the free throw line, he'll get his 20 plus. Draymond will find a way to affect the game with some kind of a 8-8-8, you know, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 8 points. Can Buddy Hield give them something, right? Gary Payton II, when they won their last championship, he was a great slasher. And when they started to double Curry, he was kicking it to Payton, who would get some layups and hit some open shots. They're going to need some X factors in this game. And I'm going to say it's going to have to be Buddy Hield, because he is the guy that's done it for them before in this series. Buddy Hield is a good NBA player. I kind of like this funny thing how Jimmy Butler hates when Buddy Hield dribbles the ball, just shoot the three. But he shot the three pretty well this series, 29%, but he did have two games where he hit very well. So I think if Buddy Hield can hit a couple threes, if Curry can do his thing. And then for the Rockets side of things, I just wonder, are they going to get nervous here in a game seven? This is going to be a brand new thing for basically that entire roster, except for Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams. But Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Alperen Sengun, Tari Easton, Jabari Smith, can these young guys handle a game seven here at home against maybe the greatest three-point shooter that's ever played the game in Steph Curry? They're going to have to be so focused on the defensive end for the entire game. And that's why I'm going to end up picking Golden State in this one, because I could see Houston clinging on to a two-point lead at the end of the first, a four-point lead at the break, a six-point lead at the end of the third. Then Curry starts hitting some shots, and that just disappears. The three-pointer is the total equalizer in the NBA. So I think Curry will go off. He'll get some help from the guys that he's got on the roster, some of these veterans, some of these guys that I talked about that we don't really know much about, but they're playing major minutes. And when you got Steph Curry, you're going to get open shots because the focus is on him. I do think that the veteran presence of the Warriors, led by Steph Curry and coach Steve Kerr, who I do like a lot more than Ime Udoka, the coach of the Rockets, will prevail. Give me Dubs in seven and give me the Nugs in seven. Dubs and Nugs this weekend in NBA playoff game sevens. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Welcome back. Good morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and Adam. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio. 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Streaming in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We'll get into the Commanders with Mitch Tischler at 10:30. Talk some ponies for the Kentucky Derby later this afternoon with Matt Valdez of the Sports Junkies. He'll join us at 11:30. Phone lines are always open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. LifeWave tweets me, AWOD, I would take the Greek Freak and a younger LeBron James on my team anytime. As for my Wizards, we need that Duke kid and a seasoned veteran that has won who can teach our kids to win. I shot back. I mean, I just don't know at this point. Would you take Giannis over Victor Wembanyama? No. Over Karl-Anthony Towns and the success he's now having with the Knicks? maybe. Over Anthony Davis, at this point, maybe. Over Chad Holmgren, no. I mean, I wonder, you know, Giannis was at the top in terms of centers in the NBA, and he's been surpassed by Jokic, and how many other guys are passing over Giannis as he continues to exit the NBA playoffs early? I know he was dealing with an injury last year, but this year, going down to Indiana, and then there was some talk about on this station with the junkies about the Tyrese Haliburton thing with his father, and I think people are looking at this wrong. I think, look, Tyrese Haliburton's father's in the wrong, and security shouldn't have probably let him on the court, but Giannis, get the hell off the court. Why are you walking towards him? Why are you putting your face in his face? Why are you touching your forehead against his forehead like you're about to swing at him or something, and you're also 2 feet bigger than him? Get off the court. Let them celebrate. Goodbye. You lost. That kind of pissed me off there that everybody was, oh, Halliburton's father's in the wrong era. He can't go to Pacers games anymore. Now, he stood there and he held the flag. It was Giannis, in my mind, who kept getting closer and closer to him. I mean, I'm kind of turning into a Giannis hater, and maybe that's just because 2 years in a row I picked the freaking Bucks and put money on them to win a series. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. We've been talking NBA, so let's look at the Eastern Conference semifinal matchups that will begin Sunday and Monday, and that is the Cavs, Pacers, and the Knicks, Celtics. And really, this Cavs team, what I think is cool is this Cavs team this year that won so many games, right, and really made it look easy to cruise through the Eastern Conference. And you got to give Donovan Mitchell credit. Like, he decided, hey, if we're going to be a 60-plus win team, that's what they were, 64 wins, maybe I can't shoot 20 times a game. Maybe I do need to improve my assist numbers. Maybe I do need to find a way to get others involved. And Mitchell didn't even lead them in scoring. Now it's Darius Garland, 24 points per game. Mitchell down to 23, but up to 4 assists per game, shooting better field goal percentage from deep and from mid-range. Ty Jerome stepped up. Evan Mobley stepped up. They've got bench scores as well that can go off. And like, what I think is so impressive about this Cavs team outside of the 64-win regular season is that they dismissed the Heat with no problem. And if you've paid attention to basketball at all, you know it doesn't matter what seed the Miami Heat get when they get into the postseason. They find a way to win a game, mess around, win a series, screw around, get to the NBA Finals. They've done that before, right? So to me, and I do think Eric Spoelstra is one of the greatest coaches in basketball. So to me, what Cleveland did to make that the most lopsided NBA playoff series in history, winning game after game after game, it shows you how legit they are. And this is going to be a fantastic series with the Pacers. And then you look at the Knicks-Celtics, and I think the Celtics are going to overmatch the Knicks. I think they're too powerful. I think we got too many scorers. But there's just something about Jalen Brunson that if the Knicks can keep it close in any game, you feel like he can make the clutch game-winning play. I mean, I was blown away watching Game 7 unfold with Hardaway hits a shot, and it's 112-105. The Pistons are up by 7 with 2 minutes left. And I'm thinking, all right, we're going to get another Game 7. But then Brunson goes off, and Bridges tips the shot back in, and then Brunson shakes one of the best defenders in basketball, and Thompson, the young kid, and gets a wide-open shot from the top of the key. 40 points clutch from Brunson to win that series. And so I really like the way this Knicks team plays here. They made that run last year and then made a major move for Karl-Anthony Towns, shipping out Julius Randle, who really wasn't a part of that run last year. But you know who was? OG Anunoby. They paid for him to come back. They let Hartenstein go across the country. He goes to OKC, but they bring in like Cam Payne, and they've gotten some good minutes from McBride again this year, and Mitchell Robinson has stepped up. But really, this team is all about the Villanova three of Bridges, Brunson, and Hart mixed with Big Cat Karl-Anthony Towns. And so they've got a starting five that is one of the most consistent starting fives in basketball. They're going, like, OG Anunoby's not great offensively, but he'll give you 10. All right, he had 22 last game. He's averaging 18. He's probably the worst player offensively on their team. Maybe that's actually Josh Hart, but Josh Hart will still give you 10-12 every single game, and Josh Hart will hustle and find a way to get 10 boards and get a couple assists and a steal or two. And so this just Knicks team is just fun to watch because the starting five, and I always have thought that basketball is better when it's good in New York, because Madison Square Garden was one of the most iconic venues in all of basketball, and they crowd that place, and then afterwards the streets are filled with people yelling bing bong whenever they win a game. The NBA's fun when the Knicks are good, and the Knicks are good right now, but they're going to run into probably the best team in basketball in my mind, which is the Boston Celtics. So I'll go Cavs win in six. Give me Celtics win in seven in that one in the Eastern Conference. I told you about my Western picks. Give me the Nugs and the Dubs to win game seven. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Luke in Arlington. Luke, you're on the Fan with AWOD. Luke, what's up, man? All right, let's go. Let's see if we can get him back on hold here. You want to try Mitch in Jersey? Mitch, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, Adam. What's happening?
What's up, man?
I agree with the Lakers. I mean, JJ was no. You can't play 4-on-5. No one's that great. You can't overcome that. Any big man, it didn't have to be a star. They should. It was poor.
Management. I mean, it was bad coaching.
Bad coaching, but they didn't construct it at the roster right.
Yeah.
And everybody talks about the trade. I mean, Luka should have been traded, but they actually gave up a starting Cam, AD, he's a Hall of Famer, and a first-round pick. And you mentioned about with the Clippers, Zubac, he came from the Lakers, and he didn't get much from him. And he can score. He's been averaging double-double. Him and Jovic is going to be a great matchup. He does score in double figures and rebounds. It'll be a great game tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to win, but anyway, thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for chiming in, Mitch. I'm looking forward to this game seven for sure. And let me just say this about the Lakers and their management of that roster. I don't think Jackson Hayes is that good, but they were playing him in April, and he was averaging 6 rebounds a game, and they could have used that more in the postseason, in my mind. Just 4 minutes in the game four loss, did not play at all in the game five loss by the L.A. Lakers. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Mook in Arlington. What's up, Mook?
Hey, what's that, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for chiming in.
Yeah, so you were speaking about Giannis, and that's one of the things that I don't think that NBA fans realize. When you have a player like Giannis, you have to have the right complementary pieces, meaning, you know, Drew Holiday, when Middleton also was constantly healthy, it masked some of the things that Giannis could not do. It was similar to Doncic last year in the playoffs when you had the two bigs. You had Lively, you had Gafford that could mask that every team was going to put Doncic in screen and roll on the defensive end. And that's kind of how you have to build NBA teams now. Just you have to have the right complementary pieces that make up for some of these guys' flaws. So that's why I think Milwaukee's front office has really let down Giannis, because they haven't put the right pieces around them. And that's why I say about Rob Pelinka, first, you got to re-sign Luka. Secondly, he's going to be tasked to put the right people around him to mask those flaws. Are we sure that Pelinka can do that and that Nico Harrison can't do that in Dallas with AD and Kyrie? That's a question that we have to ask. Everyone has killed Nico Harrison, and I understand all the reasons why. But I don't have any more confidence that Pelinka can put the right people around Luka than Nico putting the right people around AD and Kyrie. At least Harrison has proven he's been able to do it. Has Pelinka really proven that he could do that?
Well, no, it's a great point, Mook. And the other thing is, you know, no matter what happens with the Mavs and the Lakers this offseason, I'm not going to pick them over the Timberwolves again, over this young Rockets team that's going to keep improving, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, those teams would be lucky to get home court advantage next year. I want to go back to your Giannis take, though, and the Bucks, and I see what you're saying and blaming the Bucks front office, but am I being a Giannis hater, or did we crown him too early as the Greek freak that's going to take over the NBA with another first-round exit here.
No, I think that you were spot on. I think it was a lot of too much crowning early. There's a lot of, you know, LeBron is a lightning rod. And so there's a lot of, hey, why don't we shove LeBron out? And this player is going to be the next person. And this player is going to be the face of the NBA. And I think it was a little too soon with Giannis. And I will say this about the NBA. I think it's great because we don't know who it is. And you have Ant, and you have Luka, and you have Giannis, you have Jokic. You have these guys that probably resemble more of the NBA in the 80s when I first started, well, I started watching it in the 70s, not to date myself, but in the 80s where there are a lot of guys that we can say, hey, these guys are fun to watch. There's a lot of guys who are highly skilled. I actually enjoy that we don't necessarily have one NBA guy that's kind of like this overarching figure in the league. And you brought up the Houston Rockets earlier. If you are a Wizards fan, there is your blueprint.
Yeah.
The Rockets had a bunch of young guys. They brought in two veterans, and they look like a completely different – and the right coach. And they look like a completely different franchise for Washington. No matter who you're getting, I know everyone wants it to be Cooper Flagg. But no matter who you get in the top three, Michael Winger and his group are going to have to determine when does that pivot happen? When do you get the crucial veteran guys where you pivot into that, okay, we're taking the next step in the franchise. You cannot wait until 2030 to try to turn the Wizards around.
Absolutely.
That has to happen in the next couple of years.
Yep. Mook, great call, man. Really appreciate the insight.
Thank you, brother.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. This is DC Sports Radio, 1067 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And that's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on the free Odyssey app. Also, Best of AWOD available on iTunes, Spotify, or that Odyssey app. And we're going to get into the NFL at 10 o'clock. My take on the 2025 NFL draft and the Commanders draft class. I'll give out my draft grade, but we wanted to close out our NBA playoff hour here on the Fan. Big shout out to those who have called in and tweeted me. You know, I love to talk basketball. I know some people, it's football, 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 everything, but this is the NBA postseason. It's the playoffs. The playoffs, right? And it's been awesome. I really think it's been great. And we have two game sevens this weekend. One tonight, Clippers Nuggets tomorrow, Houston against the Golden State Warriors. I'm picking the Nugs, and I'm picking the Dubs. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Tweet me at AWOD Radio. Wade and Steven tweet me that they're listening this morning on the Odyssey app. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Little in D.C. What's up, Little?
Oh, man, Adam, always good to chop it up with you, man. This time of season, man, sports are off the hook, man. I'm going to tell you now. But, Adam, I beg the difference with you on this one, man. Hey, look, Clippers going to run them. Clippers going to, man, Clippers already proved they can win on their court now. They're going to run them, man. They're going to run them. And it's time. Hey, look, and also Houston, it's a wrap. They're going to run them.
What?
And they're going to go.
You're going opposite me on both these picks, Little?
Man. That's why I say I bear the difference with you, Adam. I got, hey, man, Houston put that zone on Golden State, and them boys get to running, and that crowd at Houston, oh, my gracious, man. It's going to be a hell of a game. I got the over now. I look at the over now.
All right, so let me focus in on this Houston game for a second, Little, because that one, I think you could be onto something here, because I've been saying I predicted the Rockets would force a game seven because they're so young and so athletic, and it's Green and Thompson in the backcourt, and Fred VanVleet can hit the open shots. But do you think those young kids are going to get nervous game seven and Steph Curry's hitting all these threes in their mouth? Come on.
Hey, man, look, when the Steph got to get open first, Adam. I'm going to tell you now, they're going to lock them down. Look, I got one more thing because I know you want to get to your other callers. like the young jock rappers say from Atlanta, Georgia, the stadium site, it's going down. It's going down. Hey, look, God bless y'all. Stay up, Adam.
Appreciate you chiming in, Little. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. All right, we got to get to the Wizards aspect here of the NBA conversation, which is Monday, May 12th. Monday, May 12th. Whatever you do on Sunday, do what I'm going to do. I'm going to flush ice cubes down the toilet. I'm going to say my prayers, and I'm going to pray that Washington gets the ping pong ball to land for the number one overall pick, and they can draft Cooper Flagg. Now, if they can get a top three pick, which I think is going to be very likely, I do think protected 1 through 5, then we're going to get a game-changing player. Whether it's one of the two Rutgers guys or Cooper Flagg, it's going to be a franchise-defining player. I personally want it to be Cooper Flagg, and I've talked to a bunch of Wizards fans that are older than me. They're like 50 and 60, and they say, like, I've been out on the Wizards for about 10 years, and Cooper Flagg would get me back in. Cooper Flagg is the household name that would get people back into going to Wizards games, watching Wizards games, supporting the Washington Wizards. I mean, this is the Zion Williamson of this year's draft class. Like, this is the kid that everybody watched in high school, right? I mean, that's the difference between Flagg and Victor Wembanyama. Like, we didn't really know about the alien because he was in France. Like, Cooper Flagg's grown up in front of us here. And he's 18 years old now, and he reclassed his final year in high school to go to Duke at 17, right? He didn't turn 18 till December, till the season had already started. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this kid was born in 2006. But I feel like I've seen Cooper Flagg highlights for 5 or 6 years now. Like, this is our chance to get a Zion. And Zion's not a good comparison because his NBA career hasn't been great. But this is our chance to get that generational player that has grown up in front of us. It just has a great character. The kid wants to be fantastic. He wants to be the greatest of all time. He wants to be, you know, the next Larry Bird. He wants to take over the NBA. And from what I saw at Duke, I think this transition is going to be something that he's been prepared for. He can score on anybody, and I think the defense is extremely underrated. He could even keep growing, right? 6'9", he could be 6'11", by the time he's a star in the NBA. But the defense is extremely underrated. The court vision. I mean, you all, if you watch the NCAA tournament, he single-handedly, it felt like at times, was leading Duke to win after win after win. And this is a kid here that I just think is going to change basketball in the nation's capital if he could be drafted here. I think he has the potential to be better than John Wall, who was the number one overall pick. He's going to be way better than a Kwame Brown, who was the number one overall pick. This is a chance here. Like, this is what Michael Winger and Will Dawkins were preparing for, right? They tanked successfully. I've been calling it was like an ethical tank, right? Because it was tough to watch. You knew they were losing on purpose, but they played the young guys. And Bub Carrington grew, and Bilal Coulibaly, then A.J. Johnson, and Keyshawn George, and Christian Vucevic, and Alex Sarr ended up having a solid, an actual really solid rookie season. That I think he finished like third or fourth in rookie of the year votes. It was not bad at all. I even thought it was better than the number one overall pick, Zachary Richey, in my mind, in terms of Sarr's development. So what the front office has done has been fantastic. They've developed a young group here. I actually think that Middleton and Marcus Smart were the right veterans for this year, maybe not moving forward. And I do think they have the right coach in place because he's getting his opportunity to be a head coach in Brian Keefe, and he's going to make the most of it. And he's going to get these young kids to understand it's team basketball. It's not individual greatness. And so it's been tough to watch the Washington Wizards, but if they win the lottery, May 12th, it's all looking up. It's all looking up. We've got to pray that we win that lottery. We've got to pray that the ping pong balls land for the Washington Wizards. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. What grade would you give Adam Peters for the 2025 Washington Commanders draft class? 1-800-636-1067. Your call's next on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.